Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In today's gospel, Jesus breaks out with a song of praise to God his Father, and three things are on his mind when he sings these praises. First, God has hidden all of his love, mercy, truth, and his salvation for us in this Son. What he has revealed in that Son is his will to save us, and he hides it under this weak Jew. Secondly, God knows whom he has sent. He's not floundering around trying to figure out what to do with us sinners. He knows the Son, and he sent him to buy us back to God. And the Son knows who the Father is. He is not on a lark, a religious adventure, some genius starting a new movement. He is the Son who knows the Father who sent him. And his Son stands among us as the one who reveals the Father to whomsoever he will. God will be known nowhere else. You will never find God mercifully anywhere else except in this Son. Whatever is not in him lives under wrath. And thirdly, Jesus does his work of the Father by inviting you to come to himself. You, who are weighed down, worn out, overburdened with your sins and the vexations caused by yours and others, he says, come to me. I want to tie myself to you and be your teacher. Well, if the Lord Jesus can sing at a time like this, then what kind of priests are we going to be serving under him if we do not learn to sing? And don't give me the malarkey, well, he was God, it's easy for him, or he's already risen from the dead. It is true he is God, and he is risen from the dead, but he is God for you in your world, where he suffered as you do. And he is for you. Therefore, we want to learn to sing and to be the singing church. Jesus' burst of thanksgiving stands in sharp contrast to what had been going on around him. When John in prison heard what Jesus was doing, he wondered whether Christ was Messiah or not. Here John sits and rots in prison. And so he sent messengers to ask John. And Jesus said to the messengers, you go preach to John these things that you see. The blind receive their sight, the deaf hear, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, dead are raised, and the poor, those who are like babes, have nothing to offer, have the gospel preached to them. And then Jesus spoke to the people about John, to the mob, to the crowd, to the religious gathering, as big as the Promise Keepers gathering. He said, what did you go out to see? Because they wanted a spectacle, somebody to entertain them, a national hero. And when Jesus came, whose way John prepared, they had another spectacle. John, they said, got a devil. He's a demon. He's the worst of the hippies that you can imagine. A freak. Maybe a Jesus freak. And Jesus, what's he? He's a drunk. He goes around drinking wine at parties. And he is one who consorts with sinners. They wanted a spectacle. Jesus told them, if Sodom and Gomorrah, cesspools of sexual misbehavior, almost like America, if it will go easier for Sodom and Gomorrah than for you cities, you people who have heard my words and seen my deeds, because you were preoccupied with your own interests. You wanted to be proud and strong. You want a spectacle, and you are the spectacle. For what is troubling us in the world, what weighs us down and wears us out, is not merely problems we can't cope with, lack of money, bad health, and then finally dying. What troubles us is God's anger. His hand is on us. Now listen, you youngsters, this is for you. Don't go to sleep on me here. Listen. We don't like it if our pastor is angry with us. You can't stand it if your spouse is angry with you. And it's terror for a child to have his parents angry with him. And yet we live in a world where the God who runs the world has anger, has wrath. That doesn't mean he's just peeved and say, well, all you naughty guys, I'm going to spank your bottoms. God's wrath means he will not allow evil to go on. He will kill it. That's what troubles us. And you youngsters, you quarrel and fight with each other. This is the reason the wrath of God is hanging heavy on you. Our lives are always threatened. It seems that everybody wants a chunk out of our life. Some money and our time and our interest. And they're not too interested in paying it back. So earth and the creatures that support our lives become the place where we are worked to death or we are bored with unemployment. And so we work feverishly to gain some way, a piece of earth to gain some security, an honor to have some place to stand. Bethsaida and Chorazin, big cities, like St. Paul and Minneapolis and Chicago, that's where the power and the money are. That's where you go. God's wrath is felt everywhere. Anything that is not in Jesus Christ remains under the wrath of God. And now Jesus comes, and he is this Jew also under that wrath. He preaches to people. They're glad to have his food, his healing, but they see a spectacle. Maybe dance for us, monkey. We'll play. You dance. When he gives them himself as the suffering man to save them, they are bored. They reject him, despise him, kick him out, kill him. He's a liar about God. So hidden in Jesus is the revelation of the one who did exactly what Isaiah promised you. Oh Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, you turned your anger away and you comforted me. For Jesus is the God who comes to carry the wrath to its death and to make peace, to give us the comfort. But it's hidden in Jesus. There he is, a Jew. They laugh about who his father is. We don't know. We don't know who your dad is. And he said, God is my father. And they said, liar, blasphemer. You make yourself to be God. And he wants to be known by listening to him. If you have ears, listen to me. He is not a dancing spectacle. When they see him on the cross, they can preach all kinds of things about it. For the devil and the world are full of preaching, full of religion. He's an imposter. He's waiting for Elijah. If he's the Son of God, he'd come down. They preached and filled the whole crowd with preaching. But it wasn't until he opened his mouth that we knew who he is. Father, forgive them. For the proud and the powerful know-it-alls don't know anything. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the know-it-all, the wise, and the prudential. They've got figured out how to use religion to manipulate God. They've got it figured out. They can see nothing. And it pleased you to reveal this to the baby. The human baby, of all the babies born in the world, is the most helpless. It can help itself as little as it can make its own life. It is begotten by the will of an other, and it must be cared for by the love of an other. You have revealed this to the babe. God's will in his Son is that you, who are not able to make your life anew with God, who are not able to dump the load of sin, who are not able to get out of the lie about your sin, you are the ones he revealed it to. Behold, God is my salvation. I am not God is. I will trust and not be afraid. So you are to sing to the Lord, says the Holy Spirit, for this Jesus is God among you. He is writing the new song, not the song of anger, of complaining, of accusation, not the song that is stale about if I just get a better chance, or if they would treat me right, or if society were different, or if I could just land a good job, or why do they get jobs? in that stale world, under wrath and full of death, he writes the new song, and he writes it in you. You are the musical notes, and so you are to sing. He does among us those things at which we can marvel, and he knows exactly what he's doing and why he is doing it. The Father knows who this Son is. This is the Father, Lord of heaven and earth, who chooses to be for you, God for you, in your place of living. All the sons of Adam and the daughters of Eve know the song, the wail and the groans, and the boasting and the self-pity. But the cantus firmus of that song is that God cannot be loved, for God is angry. He's scared, and you've got to try to butter him up, run away, ignore him, say that he doesn't exist. That's the cantus firmus of the old song. God cannot be trusted because he threatens. He's always wanting something from my life. But the God who knows what he's doing is writing a new song. He is the one who gives us his Son to give back to us his life. For his Son is Redeemer, the man who purchases us to belong to God. And God has put all things into his hands. Everything is put into the hands of this man. Don't slough him off by saying, well, yeah, he was a man. He was holy. He had no sin. He could sing. Don't slough him off. He is the man for you. This is what the Father wants. And it is revealed in what he says. If you look at the spectacle, if you eat and drink the bread and don't listen to the words, you can make it out to be anything you want. But if you've got ears, listen to what he says. He is the one alone who saves sinners. God will judge the world in equity. Everyone is equally condemned. Everyone is saved in one way. He who is saved in trusting this man. That is the equity of God's judgment. Therefore, let the people sing. And he judges the world in righteousness. This is not a demand he is making. This is a gift he is giving. Jesus is his name. And so he says to you, come to me. I will show you the Father. I will give you your Father. Come to me. He says that so simply, without embarrassment, without apology. You know, folks, I don't want you to think I'm proud. Without excuse, he simply says it. And he invites us to himself. For he knows the Father. And the Father knows him. The Father has given everything into his hands. You will not know the Father here. You can have your opinions, preach your sermons, practice your religiosity, deny that he exists, make all that you want or lose all that you want. You will know nothing of him. This is where he wants to be known. The proud and the self-serving, those who are self-sufficient, they have no interest in this invitation. Look at what goes on around you. You can hear the song, stale, hostile, but there's no interest in him. Those who are bent down under the baggage of their own sin, they are the ones who are invited. Those who are worn out because they've been trying and trying and trying to see good if they can't make God like them and do good to them, they who are worn out are invited to come to him. You were angry with me, but you turned your anger away and comforted me. And those who are worn out with trying to run from God, to evade the sin, to evade the humiliation, to evade the forgiveness, to try to live their lives safely in a life that they want to have, where they can possibly, if possible, rip it out of the grasp of death, or at least stiff-arm death for a while until they get finished out what they think they want to do. These are the ones who are called now. Behold, God is my salvation. Sing it. Sing it out to this dark world. Sing it. To those who listen to invitations, he promises one thing. I will give you rest for your soul. All the restless emptiness that keeps you moving won't let you stop anywhere until you want to stop in death. And that won't even stop because you will rot when you are dead. And so will I. He gives you rest for your soul. This endless quest of life for safety and happiness comes to rest in Him who is God's life. The church is not a religious organization promoting moral values and trying to persuade everybody to be Minnesota nice. The church is the bride of God who offers life to the world, and we offer it in this man. He is the rock that was split and out gushed water. You will go to the wells of salvation and you will drink water with joy, said Isaiah. He has made that feast for you here. This is the feast for souls shriveled up, preoccupied with their own self-massaging. He picks them up, gives them life, and feeds them on Himself. Come to me. That's what He calls to you. Come to me. When you are as flat as a pancake on the floor and need the spatula to get you off, He is under you. And when you are so high that nothing can bring you down, He is over you. He is behind you. He is the rewriting of your past, making the story smell good and pleasing to God. And He is in front of you. He is your future and mine. The world's future. And He says, I tie you to myself with the cords of love. I want you to take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Learn from me. I am meek. That doesn't mean He's a Casper milquetoast that you can walk on. I am meek means there is nothing in heaven, on earth, among people, or in hell. There is nothing in economic or political power, nothing in military might that will deflect Him from that course of trusting the Father and revealing the Father to you. He is meek. You can trust Him. And He is lowly of heart. He does not take His big megaphone and stand up in the sky and say, hey, you down there, stop behaving or I'm going to get after you. He comes to be under us. He is your servant. At table, He says, sit down. I am the deacon who waits on this table. I will feed you. Learn of me. Those who are meek can learn to listen to Him, to trust Him. Learn of me, he writes. You are the object of my love. You are the beneficiaries of my work. He has purchased us with Himself. So He says to you, dress yourself up in the lovely clothing of this new song with gentleness, meekness, lowliness, compassion, tenderness of heart. Learn to carry those other ones who have faults like you are carried by Him with your faults. The way God forgives you in Jesus, that is the way you are to practice forgiving each other. Be yoked or cemented together with that perfect bond of love. That is the bond of peace. And where there is peace, the conflict is over, as in you with your family or with the congregation or with your boss. There is a rest, a relief, a gladness of heart. See, learn from me, He says. And you will find rest for your soul. How are we going to learn? Listen to St. Paul's instruction. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Don't try to be penurious and beggars. How little can I get by on? One of my catechumens said, I don't want to learn all that. I don't want to be a preacher. I just want to be confirmed. Well, he wasn't in danger of knowing very much of the word of God. Let it be in you richly. All this stubborn arrogance. We know it all. We've been confirmed. Why should we study? Why do we have to beg God to teach us? Let it dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. That's what the priests are to be doing, listening to Him and learning and teaching each other, so that you adults learn something. Then you have something true to say to the children. You children learn something, so you have something true to say to each other. And sing with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing to the Lord. This congregation and its pastor helps you in that. Sing. Sing when you don't even feel like it. Sing. And whatever you do, word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That is how we learn to be the singing church. This meal that we celebrate is called the Thanksgiving. And we sing with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. And you don't hear them sitting on the side snickering about how you're off pitch. They sing day and night. They don't get bored with it. We are the ones who grumble about the pitches. And we are the ones who can't sing. We are the ones who say, I'm bored with that. The angels aren't. So as God's will is done in heaven, let it be done among us, that we learn to sing. Enemies of your gospel have given you a nickname. They called you Lutheran. It wasn't Luther's desire, but that was the dirty word that you were called, Lutheran, by the enemies of your gospel. They have also daubed you the singing church. Most places in the world, that's how the Lutheran church is known. The church of the catechism and the singing church, the church of the hymn. It is only in our anxious whoredom these days that we ignore the catechism and prefer different singing. But you carry that name with honor. You are confessors who are told, sing. Oh, sing to the Lord. And if nothing else will stir you, let my example be of some help to you. Let your first reply not be, I can't sing. Learn. Learn to play with the harp, the trumpet, the cornet. Learn to play and to sing. And when you come into this building and you find someone in this church singing, sidle up and join them. That's all right. Join them if you wish. Even if there is only one singing, you join the earth. Let the earth be glad. Let the hills clap their, let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy. Let the earth praise Him. If you're only one, you've got an enormous choir going on with you. For you and they fill the world with the praise of Him who so gently comes and says, come to me. I will give you your peace and your rest. The peace of the Lord Jesus be with all of you.